Christ, one of the pastors here, and it is great to be with you. If you are here with us on a regular basis or you are here with us for the very first time, it is great to see you, and we are glad to be together and worship the Lord. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not rely on your own insight. In all your ways, acknowledge the Lord, and God will direct your paths." This morning, we're going to take a look at what that might mean. Trusting sometimes is easier. It sounds easier than it actually is. And how do we do that in all of our ways? How do we acknowledge God in all of our ways? So we look forward to worshiping together. I also want to share with you a few things. One, in your bulletin, you'll find a Connect card. You would be amazed at the number of ways that we look forward to using the information that you provide. Even just your name and your email and knowing that you are here helps us tremendously. So I hope that you will take a moment and fill that out and put it in the offering plate or hand it to the ushers during that time in the service. We really do appreciate it. Also, a couple of things coming up in worship. 2 weeks from today is Children's Sunday, and our children will lead us in worship. We know that God can speak to us as they lead us, and I hope that you will make an extra effort to be here on that Sunday to be supportive of them and also to hear what God might say to you through worship that morning. The next week, we have two guests who will be with us. Joseph Martin is a prolific choral composer for church music. Our choirs sing much of his work, and he will actually be here with us 3 weeks from today. He'll be doing a choir workshop with all of the adult choirs and then participating and leading us in worship that morning, 3 weeks from today. And also one of his professor from Furman University, where Joseph was in school, will be with us as well. And that's Dr. Milburn Price, who also happens to be Steve's dad. So I hope you'll come, and if you want to be a part of that choral workshop that weekend, even if you don't normally sing in the choir, you are welcome to be a part. So we invite you to contact Alice and to come and join the choir that weekend. You know, Trinity is a place where we hope that everyone will find a sense of belonging and a sense of home. And so each week we begin services sharing together, "Welcome Home." So let me invite you to stand up and say hello to somebody near you. If you don't know them, please introduce yourself.
Good morning, everyone. Would you please remain standing as we begin our worship together?
Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise, let them flow in
gracious God, take our lives and let them be consecrated to you for your service. And as we gather here this morning, we pray, oh God, that you change our hearts and lives, that you equip us for your work in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. And now let us affirm our faith together using these classic words from the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to the dead. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Glory be to the Father.
Each Sunday at Trinity, we participate in what we call a mission box offering, which goes to support a ministry beyond the walls of our church. And this morning's mission box goes to support Faith Mission, which is an extension of our ministries here on the east side of Gainesville. And we have a short video to tell you about this morning's mission box.
Good morning. Four times this year, our mission box is going to be devoted towards the Faith Mission renovations. Back in January, our focus was ensuring that people at Trinity knew that Faith Mission is a Trinity ministry. And I shared about the variety of programs and partnerships that we have in place. This morning, I'm excited for you to hear from two of our leadership team members and listen for their personal engagement and their personal reflections about serving with Faith Mission.
Hi, I'm May.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And we're part of Faith Mission here in the Northeast Section of Gainesville. And we're so happy to be here on this site. And we want to share some things with you that Faith Mission is doing.
Megan? Faith Mission is a Trinity mission. And we exist over here in the Northeast side of Gainesville to serve with our community over here, to be ingrained with our community, to grow in relationships with each other for the well-being, ultimately, of us all.
Well, one of the aspects that I like about Faith Mission Center being here is because I live in the neighborhood. And it's very important to me because I see what is happening in my neighborhood. I'm a part of the people. I'm a part of the culture. I understand and I feel deeply from my heart what the neighborhood is going through. And so being a part of that just really helps me to grow.
May and I have discussed that one of the, like, that we feel so called to be a part of Faith Mission in such like an integrated way because we feel like it's how Christ calls us to be disciples in the world. The way that we feel Faith Mission enables us to work humbly and lovingly serve alongside others in this community to bring God's love and shalom to the world.
We are so grateful to be in mission, and it's not our mission, it's God's mission. And it's in a neighborhood that we feel that we can be a beacon of light. And so again, we thank Trinity for overseeing this huge mission center, and they're ever so gracious in how they come together on this side of town to help.
I hope you can see the power of the kind of relationships that we're building in the Faith Mission neighborhood. Our goal this year is $25,000 towards renovations such as playground improvement and computers and software and we have $5,000 thus far. We very much appreciate your continued support to help us reach our goal.
So Ward Simonson and the leadership team out at Faith Mission are doing life-changing ministry, making God's love real on the east side of Gainesville. So I hope you would generously support the work that is being done over there by giving any of the wooden boxes, the five mission box locations, as you exit the worship center this morning. We turn our attention now to a time of prayer and want to first acknowledge that we all gather here on Sunday from our places, our homes, and have our own concerns, our own celebrations that we want to offer God in prayer. So I will begin with some silent prayer for you to be able to speak to God in the quiet of your heart. You might want to remember these folks in your prayers. These are people who are receiving nurture and support from our congregational care team. You might want to remember our visioning team who had their first meeting yesterday as they go about the work that God has set before. But I invite you to unite your hearts with mine and let us go to God in prayer. Amazing love and unfailing grace. As we entered your sanctuary this morning, signs of spring were evident to us. Birds singing, flowers blooming, blue skies, green grass. May these signs of new life remind us that we are Easter people and that you call us to be living signs of your kingdom, proclaiming the good news that the mighty works of your salvation have conquered sin and death. Love has won. We pray, O God, that your Spirit will blow strong, falling afresh on our church and our world. Equip us, empower us to be agents of your grace, partnering with you in your mission of making all things. We pray, O God, where there is need for healing in body, mind, or spirit, that those might receive a touch of your healing grace. We pray all these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Thank you. come, thou fount of every blessing, reminds us that as followers of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, every blessing that we receive from God, we are called to share with one another. And so we give back to God from what God has given us through our tithes and our offerings. You can do that in a number of ways. The plate is coming around. You can also give through our app. I believe there's a QR code in our bulletin if you like to give electronically. But let us pray as we offer our gifts to God. Gracious God, we thank you that you are the giver of everything in our lives. And we give back to you now a portion of what you have given us. We pray that you receive these tithes, these offerings, that you have your will and your way with them.
I have played any handbells, but when I hear a song like that, it makes me want to jump over there and join them. That's wonderful. Thank you all for sharing. I so appreciate the variety of ways in which people share their gifts and service in the life of the church, and the dedication that our ringers give to rehearsing and preparing and offering music is surely a blessing to all of us. So thank you. Our scripture for this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. I'll be reading a short section that comes from the 12th chapter, beginning with the 41st verse and continuing through the 44th. And likely this is a story that will sound familiar to you, so I invite you to follow along as I read. Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who has been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change, but she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." This is the word of God for the people of God, and God's people say, thanks be to God. Would you pray with me? Come, Holy Spirit, and breathe life into the words of this sermon, that they might carry a word from you into our hearts and lives on this day. Amen. The music team at Abundant Life United Methodist Church had planned what they thought would be a wonderful opening medley of music for that week's service. They would start with God of Wonders, a more contemporary selection that some of the members of the congregation loved to sing, and one that ended with the words, "The universe declares your majesty, you are holy, holy, holy." And so they thought, well, that would be a perfect transition into one of the more traditional hymns of the church, one that some of the other members had long loved to sing. And so as the first song closed, the pianist and the band moved into an interlude and transition. And then when the slide came up for the opening verse of the next hymn, the member of the band who had put the lyrics into Pro Presenter that week, their face turned a pale shade and they realized what had happened, that they had inserted an extra letter in the first line of the hymn. And so the congregation began to sing, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord Gold Almighty." Well, that humorous incident actually reveals a real tension that can exist for us in life and in faith. With one breath and in one moment, we are praising the Lord of all creation, the maker of earth and sky, the giver of all good things. And with the next, if not with our lips, certainly with our credit cards and our checkbooks, we are bowing down to the power of money. Jesus knew this would be an issue for us. And Jesus knew that we would have to make a choice. He says in his Sermon on the Mount, "You cannot serve two masters, for you will either hate the one and love the other, or you will love the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and wealth." Which is why there is that story that several of the gospel writers tell us about Jesus' encounter with the rich young man. It wasn't that the money itself was the issue. It was that his attachment to the money and the possessions was the issue. Which is why Jesus knew that he would have to confront him with the most difficult challenge and question the man would ever hear. If you want to live into abundant life, if you want to live into the kingdom of heaven, you'll need to sell everything you had, he it is the one thing that the man couldn't do in order to follow Jesus. And so the scriptures tell us that he walked away sad that day. Ultimately, the choices we make in life reveal where we really put our trust. They reveal where we invest our trust and confidence. Today's reading captures a moment where Jesus is sitting just outside the entrance to the temple and observing, the scripture tells us, how the crowd gave their money. Specifically, he calls attention to a number of people who, according to Mark, were of significant means and pouring in lots of amounts, large amounts of money into the temple treasury, and then contrast that with what Jesus notices and perhaps nobody else noticed, a poor widow. And in that moment, Jesus says something that is both shocking and surprising to his hearers. And he says that it is the widow with her small or seemingly small offering who has offered more than all of the others put together. Whenever I hear this story, it takes me back to a time when I was in the country of Angola a number of years ago. You may know that the United Methodist Church in Florida for some time has had a partnership with the East Angola Methodist Church, and I had the opportunity to visit on a couple of occasions. The first time I went, I will never forget Sunday morning at the United Methodist Church in Melange, the capital city of that province of East Angola. And when it came time for the offering, it was the most joy-filled time of the entire service. A prayer was offered by one of the pastors, and then one of the choirs began to sing. They didn't have just one choir. They had several choirs that sang every week in worship. And so one of the choirs began to sing, and in the middle of the front area of the worship space, there was just a simple chair that had been placed there with a plastic bowl. And as the choir sang, people from the congregation, just as they felt led, began to stream to that bowl and make their offerings. Villagers from the town of Melange and from the surrounding villages who gathered there for worship, people of what we would consider meager means, and yet they came with such joy on their faces and laid before the Lord their God their offerings until that plastic bowl was overflowing with gifts that morning. And they brought them with such great joy. Where does such joy come from? Paul says in his writing to Timothy, I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I know I have confidence in him until that day. I know the one in whom I put my trust. Do you know? Do I know? Do we know? And are we honest with ourselves about who it is or what it is in which we place our trust? A couple of years ago, a candidate came before the Board of Ordained Ministry, which I have the opportunity to serve on currently for our Florida Conference of the Methodist Church. And this particular candidate had moved to the States from Cuba just a few years prior. And as he was interviewing with the full board, there were questions, as there always are for candidates, about his ministry and about his understanding of theology and leadership and personal growth. One of the questions that came up for him that somebody on the board asked was, tell us about this depth of your faith that you describe not only for yourself, but for your people back home in Cuba. Where does that come from? You know, here in the U.S., you have so many things on which you can rely. So many things that you can depend on. And so many things in which you can put your trust. For us, there is only one thing. And it is God alone in whom we can place our trust. Perhaps that's why Jesus says in another place in the Scriptures, "Truly I tell you, it is easier for a camel to pass through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter the kingdom of heaven." Again, it's not about the money itself. It is about our relationship to money that can be the issue. And that can happen for us no matter the extent of our means. But our relationship to money can cause us to live under the illusion of control. To think that we actually can control our lives and the events of them, that if we just have enough wealth or enough stuff, we can manage the way we want to. And our relationship to our money can also distort our relationships with others, can even put us in competition with others. Perhaps you've heard or seen the expression, "He who dies with the most toys wins." I prefer a variation on that that I saw one time. The first time I saw it, it was on a t-shirt. And the front of the t-shirt said, "He who dies with the most toys, dot, dot, dot." And then as the person passed by me, I had to glance back to see what the back of the shirt said. And the back side of the shirt said, dot, 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 still dies. Indeed, that is the greater truth, isn't it? He who dies with the most toys still dies. And so Jesus invites us into living from a place of deep trust in a God who longs to meet our true needs. And we see evidence of this invitation to trust not just in the words of Jesus, but also in the Old Testament as well. There's a story that comes from 1 Kings about the prophet Elijah being sent by God to visit a foreign land. It actually was the land of a foreign god, Baal. Perhaps you remember this story. Let me remind you of a portion of it. This comes from the 17th chapter of 1 Kings. The Lord's word came to Elijah, "Get up and go to Zarephath near Sidon and stay there. I have ordered a widow there to take care of you." Now, that might not immediately jump out for us, but for Elijah, the idea of a widow taking care of him would have caused some alarm right off the bat, because widows and orphans were those who did not have enough to care for their own needs, much less someone else. And then on top of that, the whole land of Sidon was in a time of drought. But Elijah left, trusting in God, and went to Zarephath. And as he came to the town gate, he saw a widow collecting sticks. Another not so reassuring sign. He called out to her, "Please get a little water for me in this cup so I can drink." And she went to get some water. And then he said to her, "Please get me a piece of bread." "As surely as the Lord your God lives," she replied, "I don't have any food, only a handful of flour in a jar and a bit of oil in a bottle. Look at me. I am collecting two sticks so that I can make some food for myself and my son. We will eat the last of the food and then die." Elijah said to her, "Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid." Can you think of other places in Scripture where we hear those words? Don't be afraid. do what you said, only make a little loaf of bread for me first. Then bring it to me. You can make something for yourself and your son after that. This is what Israel's God, the Lord, says. The jar of flour won't decrease, and the bottle of oil won't run out until the day the Lord sends rain on the earth. And so the widow went and did what Elijah said, acting from a place of deep trust that perhaps she didn't even understand herself in that moment. So the widow, Elijah, and the widow's household ate for many days. And the jar of flour didn't decrease, nor did the bottle of oil run out, just as the Lord spoke to Elijah. A jar that never runs out. Manna that comes down from heaven and provides for the Israelites in the wilderness. 5 loaves and 2 fish that feed 5,000 people. A massive haul of fish, too big to even be held in the nets, when Jesus simply says to the fishermen to go from one side of the boat where they were catching nothing to the other side of the boat. 2 small coins representing less than a penny from a poor widow placed in the temple treasury. These episodes all point us toward a perspective on life that is grounded in trusting in the providence of God. In his book, God's Economy, Jonathan Wilson Hartgrove tells the story of Jim Douglas, who in 1960 graduated from college, and upon his graduation, his father sent to him as a gift a life insurance policy. It was a thoughtful, caring, generous gift, except for the fact that Jim knew that it was a gift that would set him on a path different from the one he was being led to follow. You see, Jim was worried about the sense of security that he and his family would find in that. And he knew that for himself, he needed to start his young adult life trusting in something besides that. And so he wrote his father a very kind note expressing appreciation for the gift, but then going on to share with him why he couldn't accept it. Because Jim wanted to start his adult life trusting in the economics of providence, he said. And so what Jim said he was going to do was, instead of putting money each month in that policy, he was going to send that money to a child in another country to make sure that that child had food and water and education. Now, that's not a story about the value or the rightness of a life insurance policy or caring for someone in a foreign country or trying to say that one is worth more than another. It is a story about somebody recognizing that in their life they had a choice to make, and the choice that they would make a difference in where they placed their trust. And those are the kinds of choices that face us day after day after day. The providence perspective is one in which we are daily invited to say yes to God and no to wealth as our master. For Catherine and myself, the starting point for that has always been practicing the tithe. baptized. Not to fulfill some legalistic expectation of the church or to be recognized, but that by setting aside the first tenth of anything that we earn, it might help us orient our relationship to money in such a way that it does not hold us captive. And by doing that first, it impacts our perspective not just on that tenth, but on the way in which we see all of our resources, at least on the best of days. Because even we, every day, have to look at those choices of whether we will say yes to God or yes to money as our master. But when we say yes to God, one of the things that we get to do is to share some of what we have for purposes that are greater than ourselves. The widow, as she went into the temple that day, placed two very small coins, all that she had, treasure. And Jesus said that she had given greatly. This morning, as you come to receive communion from the abundance of God's grace and love for you, you will notice on the tables bowls. And in each of those bowls are small, tiny coins that resemble or represent that widow's mite, is the term many of you may have grown up with. The widow's mite. I invite you to take one of those this morning. And as you do, I invite you to do two things. Use it and to see it as a reminder that whatever you have, whether it is much or little, it is of great value in God's economy. And God can do great things with even the smallest gifts that are offered in faith. And the second thing I invite you to do is to pray. To pray that the Holy Spirit will help you trust God more with whatever it is that you do. You pray with me. Good and gracious God, indeed all that we are and all that we have are gifts from you. And so with all that we are and all that we have, may we honor and trust you. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Come to this table and we lift up our hearts and we offer God our praise and our thanksgiving, because it is good and right always and everywhere to offer our thanks to God. God, who is the creator of heaven and earth, and who created all that is, who created the earth and everything in it, and formed us in the image of God, and breathed into us the breath of life. And God made us stewards over all of creation, over all of God's good gifts. and yet we turned away from God, and our love failed. But God's love for us remains steadfast. And so God came in Jesus Christ, who ate with those who were scorned and forgotten, who healed the sick, who fed the hungry, and who offered to us a holy meal in which we could receive the abundance of God's grace through Jesus Christ. We remember that on the night before he died, Jesus gathered the disciples around him, and he took a loaf of bread, and he broke it, and he gave it to the disciples, and he said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over again, he gave thanks to God. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sin. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so we come. We come to offer all that we have, all that we are, to offer our very selves as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. And we proclaim the mystery of faith that Christ has died, Christ has risen, and Christ will come again. Let's pray together. Oh God, pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine. May they be for us the body and blood of Christ, so that we may go out into the world as the body of Christ, redeemed by his precious blood. And oh God, we pray that you would make us one with Christ and one with each other and one in ministry to all the world until Christ comes again and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen. Let me invite those who are serving to come to the altar with us. Trinity and in the United Methodist Church, the table is a place where everyone is welcome. It is a place of God's abundance given freely for us. So we invite you to come. This is a place where you can come seeking God's presence in your life, seeking God's sustenance, so that we can go out into the world and offer ourselves for others. So we invite you to come to the station in front of your section. You'll come out by the left and return by the opposite side. We'll begin at the front and move toward the back. We also invite you, again, to come to the kneeling benches and to spend time in prayer and to hear from God about how you might place your trust more in God. And then take one of those widow's mites with you, as a reminder that God asks us to give all that we have and all that we are to God. Please come. Everything's ready. Gracious God, we give you thanks for this meal, this holy meal in which you've given yourself for us. We give you thanks for your life poured out for us. And we pray that we can go out trusting in you and leaning not on our own understanding. As we go, may we go and in all of our ways acknowledge you. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen.
Let's stand as we sing together our closing hymn.
As you go out, may you know the one in whom you place your trust. And may that knowledge lead to a deeper faith. And may that God of all grace cover you with kindness.